Australian Bible Church, March 2nd, 2014. We're a Presbyterian church following the Bible without qualification. When God speaks, well, that's right. And the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Through grace. But there's no one without sin. By faith. And today, doors and mysteries. Doors of utterance and mysteries of Christ. Mysteries of the gospel. Mysteries of the will of God. Where do I find these things? In the Bible. This morning, we plan to look at these aspects. And they come from such scriptures as Colossians 4:3, Ephesians 3:4, 1:9 and following, 6:19, Romans 6:25, as we study the theme, doors and mystery, doors of utterance and mysteries of Christ, of the gospel and of the will of God. Let's start with doors. Paul was desperately keen to push the gospel into territories as vast as possible, seeking from God a door of utterance, a way to get the utterance out. And he was already delighting in what he found to be a, quote, great and effectual door. As in 1 Corinthians 16:9, while exhorting others to pray that God would open a door for us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, Colossians 4:3, the mystery of Christ. In Ephesians 6:19, he seeks prayer that the door of his mouth would be moved, God giving him, quote, utterance that I may open my mouth boldly. It seems to me that the word boldly has almost been excised from the vocabularies of many of the neo-evangelicals whose words sound nice, as with Jeremiah. But do not seem to take hold because there are compromises and qualifications to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, utterance that I may open my mouth boldly. Don't be afraid to speak boldly. It's true that there was at the Scots College Chapel, I understand, on one occasion, the chaplain, who didn't seem wedded to the gospel at that time, opened his mouth, I don't know whether it was bold or not, and out came his false teeth. Don't act as though you have something to keep your mind on, less like false teeth or false doctrine or false fears should lead you astray. Open your mouth boldly. Paul was praying for that. I think you will agree as you read through Acts 9 to 16, for example, that boldness was precisely what he showed to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we've already seen the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel mentioned in these few scriptures. Paul had information. Do you feel when you are moving around the world, if you're a Christian, that you've got information? And that information demands communication? And that in the process you should open your mouth boldly? That would be appropriate. You have it if you're a Christian. Many don't. Information he had boiling in his heart. There was an inclination toiling in his will. There was a formulation which was being built up. If you read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 13, you see this delicious competence and comprehensive coverage by the Spirit of God as he was inspiring Paul and others in the deposition of the scriptures. I always love this. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. So many seem to stop. It's never been shown. Eye hasn't seen it. But Paul is saying the exact opposite. It is written, I have not seen, but God has revealed them. If you're dealing with the Einstein theory in its early days, Einstein might have said, I has not seen these things. And they say, oh, Einstein says God he has never found these things. But immediately after he said, but I have now found them. That makes a difference, doesn't it? But God has revealed them to us. Not to someone in space. Not to aliens. He hasn't foozled them. God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, not to cultural meditation or educational innovations, through His Spirit. Not your Spirit, His Spirit is the transmitting agent, the informative person. For we now learn more about how it does it, or how He does it. For the Spirit searches all things. So you could say, well, it's like a professor. He has gone to all the libraries in the world and searched them all. That would be ridiculous. True. That not for God, because He made all things. The Spirit searches all things. There's nothing left out. There are no areas which man may tell God to supplement His limited wisdom. It is man who is limited. And the more you see of things like the Ukraine, with subunits of problems in the Crimea and Russia, and trade aspirations on the part of Russia, Qatar, Egypt, and oil lines, and wars, and bodies, and Mediterranean port for Russia, and the danger of Russia translating her efforts too broadly to disturb the imbalance. It's hard to disturb the balance, but to make it worse. The more you realize that man is very far from knowing, far less implementing all things, because on the whole, which nation is serving God according to the gospel? We proceed. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Not through your meditations. Not through your compilations. Not through your cleverness. By His Spirit, the same one to whom you were created in Christ. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. He hasn't left out, as Calvin might suggest, some of the most extraordinary, mysterious, deep things. It's not as if God had said, well, look, this is enough for the children. Calvin seems to say this sort of thing again and again. That's enough for the children. This is all you're getting. The deep things. There is nothing devious. There is nothing hidden. There's nothing to give you a surprise, as you might get coming out of Scots College into a university so filled with irrationalism and hatred of the things of God that you could scarcely believe that such an ignoramus of an institution would exist in this field. Nothing like that. With God, you are not betrayed. In the case of God, the Spirit searches all things. Yes, it searches the deep things. And nothing left out. Do you see the word all? There are no surprises. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, that we might know, is a marvelous antidote to a great deal of the religious activities of the present time. They don't want to know very often. All they want to know is how to get pleasure, how to get peace, how to get my life as I want to live it, plus religion for comfort, or for prosperity in some cases, or for a bit of extra style, class, dignity, place. That we might know the things which have been freely given to us from God. These things we speak, not in words. Oh, we're coming right down to the manner of expression. It's not a question of some bumbling idiot trying to speak difficult things. The words are chosen with the same wisdom, facility, and felicity as the substance which is revealed. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things, looking at these aspects, and considering how they fit in with all the other aspects. DNA has a lot of that programmatically, but this is done personally, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. All right, so we're looking at the doors, at the determination to diffuse these things, and how these things were brought and not refused by Paul. With his heart being full, he wanted disseminated like so many daphne bushes planted all through your garden, that the garden might be, through the diffusing of the perfume, suffused with the fragrance of the things of God. Many are the media which are needed for modern dissemination. One way we use here is, by the grace of God, what you could call electronic missionary work. On the web, we have through what's now our 227 volume website, focusing on biblical Christian apologetics, reached even some years ago, we had reached 76 nations and around 430 universities, preaching, teaching and demonstrating that goes with apologetics and centering on Jesus Christ and eternal life through him. The Word of God, the Bible, is demonstrated to be true. It is not a question. It's demonstrable. That's why you find in Romans 1 that it's a wrestling grip which man is putting on it to avoid the manifest facts of the power and wisdom and knowledge of God. And many of those which have gone forth in aeroplane, canoe, ways large and small, intermittent public, whatever, the whole world in its races has to be covered, and then the end comes as in Matthew 24:14, and we are moving towards that because of the electronic works in particular, which enable people all over the world to have exceedingly popular little devices, so small, when they can reach and gain words of all sorts from thousands and thousands of sources brimming with gospel and biblical information. What of the result? You see the principle of the use of doors in this effectual manner, as in John 9:40-41. For judgment I have come into this world, says Christ, that those who see might be made blind, or those who say they see, and those who do not see might be given their sight. In other words, people who were so sure of themselves that they couldn't be bothered examining the issue as they might their income tax, in their complacent ignorance and the determined removal of the Word of God from the reality of their life, so they don't even study it, these people are made blind despite their self-sufficiency and complacency. Whilst those who are blind and say, Lord, grant me sight, are given the sight through the Spirit, by the power of God, for the good of their hearts, and for their bringing back to the God who made them. How people fail to see, you cannot have messages, as in DNA, the messages having the form of command, without someone who makes messages with the purpose of communicating from the knowledgeable source to the unknowledgeable recipient. It is so obvious, we are filled with the testimony of the communication of the superior intelligence with purpose to in these commands. But that's not all. You see the same in John 15, the same principle. And take another aspect of it. If I hadn't come and spoken the words which no man has spoken, and done the deeds which no man has done, said Jesus Christ, if I hadn't come and done these things so that you heard it and saw it, you would have no sin. You wouldn't be destined to hell because of mere ignorance. The principle, whether God does it in foreknowledge or any other way, the principle is clear. Informed rejection of the gospel is necessary to get you safely and securely into hell. If you were in heaven and hated God, it would be hell. Like being forced to marry someone you hated, and to live the whole time in the presence of that purpose. There is a deliverance for man. It is free. It took infinite care and grace and sacrifice when the Son of God was killed. And so here is the Word of God, which has indeed uncovered mysteries, divinely divulged, to conform with and to confirm and to complete the revelation of the Old Testament like a bud in the flowering beauty of the New. But remember, the truth is sharp. After that, no man dared to ask him these questions because he always gave the answers they didn't want and which they couldn't answer again. The word, the truth is sharp. And there's a great divine sorrow. When people resist it because reality doesn't bow, the truth doesn't alter for the sake of popularity like some politicians. The truth is what it is. And if you don't like it, you are already molesting your own integrity through the sharpness which resisting cuts you. Your resisting leads to its cutting you. where the truth is not cutting out sin and coming with its remedy, then because it is sharp like a razor blade, there is no way to rest on it without being cut. The truth will make you free, but if it doesn't make you free, it will cut you. Instead of cutting out the cancer, it will cut out the foolish flesh, which is denying the truth. The truth is furthermore not available for capture by contraries. Some people try to imagine that all the stuff in our body is not really messages, it's not really orders, it's not really communication. It doesn't really require God to give it. And the bodies just assemble themselves in the most unique piece of directed design that is visible on this earth, and that is a fact, not an opinion. But this doesn't interest them. And the result is that the mystery of Christ, as in Colossians 4:3, as in Ephesians 3:4, doesn't reach them. To their willful indifference, ignorance, hate, fighting, whatever is the format for rejecting God. Paul was wanting a door to show the mystery of Christ, and what a lot of doors were open to Paul. He tramped through Europe as though he had free access. In place after place, it seems Spain, Rome. He went on one occasion, left for dead, literally after stoning, whipped, troubled, floating after shipwrecks. But he got the door of utterance. A couple of years held in a home in Rome, he preached the gospel, reaching deeply into Rome as a prisoner. In fact, he's called the ambassador in bonds. Paul, as you see in Ephesians 6:20, wants to speak as he ought to speak. And we find that that is, as we've noted, boldly. Boldness is not a psychological preoccupation in this field. It's not a refined development. It is essential. I don't say to little kids, 2 + 2 = 4. As far as I know, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, I could be wrong about this. I mean, you know, I don't want to seem important. 2 + 2 = 4. We can go into all the reasons why that is so. How much more when God speaks? And so we've seen this aspect of the mystery of Christ in this case. He wants to speak in this fashion. Then in Ephesians 6:19-20, utterance that my mouth, open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here, the gospel's mystery, the gospel, the mystery of Christ, is one, the incarnation, the resurrection, a mystery revealed, remember, a mystery revealed, something vast and enormous, to be pondered, to be marveled at, but now revealed. And the second mystery, now revealed, is that of the gospel, as in Ephesians 6:19-20. Neither faint courage, even Peter, after being first staggered, walked off in a fit of faintness, nor a fickle character, as Paul may have feared Mark had, though he didn't, neither inhibition nor chains are to stop this door of utterance from being utilized to the full, utilized with rank clarity, not sophisticated preservation, with undimmed force, revealing what's been given in both substance and expression, as we've just seen in 1 Corinthians 2. Then again in Romans 16:25, we have Paul praying that God would make them to be established, that is the Romans, those of Rome to whom he was speaking. How? He wants them to become established according to, quote, my gospel, that's the same one as Peter had, as we see in Galatians, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. There we are again, the revelation of the mystery. Talk of mysteries, great, but they're revealed. The revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. But that's only part of the verse of Romans 16:25. I've got it set out for you in the notes, in red, to bring out certain features in their sequence. It's a complex sentence. Now, says Paul in that verse, to him who is able to establish you, one, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the center, and the gospel the source. According to the revelation of the mystery, there it is, the revelation of the mystery. He's doing it according to the revelation described in 1 Corinthians 2, for example. Now, this mystery was, quote, kept secret since time began, but is now manifest. That's very clear. In addition, God is able to establish them not only through the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now manifest, but also able to establish them, and by the prophetic scriptures. These prophetic scriptures also contained their moiety of revelation. Many mysteries were exposed in great depth. In Isaiah and the Psalms, for example, you have the gospel presented with remarkable precision. That was predicted at that time, yet it was underlying all that was done. For obedience to the faith to all nations. Notice obedience to the faith. This is how to be established. The faith is not something which you think up when you're gargling or shaving. The faith is not something which comes to you with blissful feeling of romance when you're listening to your favorite music. It doesn't come when the circumstances are such as you look across the sea that you feel there's a certain something somewhere which it would be nice to know. It is obedience to the faith, which means one, it is there. Two, it is challenging. Three, if you take it, it tells you what to do. Repent and believe. And don't just call Christ Lord, Lord, do it. Not as a condition, but as a result. Because the grace is free by which you're saved. But never forget this. Also by the prophetic scriptures, don't forget your Old Testament. That's one of the ways for you to be made firm. Made known according to the commandment. God didn't say, listen, if you'd like to take this course, I'd be very willing to help you. It says, get this. It's a war. You can be conscripted or in the prison of your own puniness. You have to have obedience to the faith. I don't like men ordering me around in the matters of understanding because they're usually wrong when it comes to depth because they don't usually follow God. They don't usually listen to the revelation, though many do. Obedience to the faith, it's there, it's clear, it's commanded. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Except you repent, you will perish, says Christ. Obedience to the faith. I like something which has the sovereign rigor, the glorious majesty, the utterly comprehensive background, the entire wisdom, the prevailing sovereignty of my Maker and the Maker of all things. I want something that cannot be changed, cannot be challenged, cannot be diffused away. I want the truth, nothing less. The eternal truth from the eternal God and what the gospel is that God has given to make a world such as this a place where ambassadors may find those who will become disciples of Christ. Obedience to the faith to all nations, if not for this or that, the other nation, all. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Here is the mystery made manifest. Christ through the preaching of him by Paul, but also by the prophetic scriptures such as Isaiah 7, 9, 22, 32, 42, 50 to 55, Micah 5, Psalm 2, 16, 22, on and on we could go. Micah 7, the gospel and the prophetic scriptures, the disposition of things which God has come to do, are revealed. There is no excuse. Christ said, if I hadn't come and done among you the deeds which no one else has done, and said in the words which no one else has spoken, you would have no sin. But now, there is no excuse. So the secrecy since the world began is categorically removed by the onrush of revelation, one, in the Old Testament, two, in the New Testament, centrally by Jesus Christ himself, and then through the Holy Spirit, putting down the entire thing with the resources noted, so that it may be known and people who heed it may be consolidated and made firm and strong. And if that's what you want, here is the ground, here is the mystery. Effectual doors of utterance. One, we all pray that they may be open to the people of the Lord. Two, their being open in obedience to the faith. Utterance with boldness may be given to the things of God through the Holy Spirit granted in the scriptures to man. So that Christ may in all things have the preeminence, summing it all up as a living word of God himself, for whom all these words are indexes, acknowledging and presenting knowledge, the very heart of truth, and the blessed center of revelation, which will not change. Now, there's milk. That is imagery for the easy part, like a baby, such as a baby might imbibe, of learning the gospel. But there's also meat. And you might want to look this one up, so if you've got a pen you could note it. There are two places in scripture which refer to meat for building up. It shows that it's meat to drink milk at first, but afterwards it's meat to eat meat. It's meat to study the thing, go into the depths, understanding the marvelous riddles and things which God gives us to challenge us like a great teacher. These things, you better work on them, but you'll get it. These two references to milk and meat are Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, and 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Meat doesn't remove the milk of the gospel, but it gives weight of understanding and depth of knowledge of the Lord, and that should be taken in due course, as well as the milk. It's not contrary to the milk, it's bodybuilding in the same term. Then finally we come to the mystery of his will. A rich harvest in the revelation of mysteries, as found in Ephesians 1, 8 following. This is a vast interconnecting concourse at Ephesians 1. But before we look at this, let's consider Matthew 13, 11. You might want to look up Matthew 13, 11 in this context because it deals very deeply with our theme, doors and mysteries. Matthew 13, 11 and following. Here Jesus Christ declares that many had sought to understand the marvels, the depths, the mysteries. But to the apostles, or disciples at that time, it was the case that these mysteries were already revealed. They were being revealed. Many have desired to see the things that you see, but they are given to you. There again, the mysteries are revealed. It's clear. It goes to the apostles through the Holy Spirit, write it down in the scriptures, and they're given to us, so they're revealed to us also. Many have desired to see these things, but now they're there, they're communicated, they're available. Never say God didn't tell me. Never say God didn't do anything. He did both. To ignore it is like having the president of some vast nation come to visit you. You put him in prison and ignore him and never acknowledge him. It's not really fitting, is it? Much less with God. But Christ therefore exposed with extreme clarity what God had revealed, and in Ephesians 1:8 we read these interesting words. God did these things according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Paul at one stage says, he has come not to persuade God to accept the preferences of men like a politician, but to persuade men to receive the greatness of the glory of the information and communication given by God. He's not a salesman. He's a disperser of the truth. But notice, God does things according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. He's not a series of galaxies of opinions. In his own self he makes up his purposes. And one of the purposes was to make man. Another of his purposes was to provide a remedy when man makes hay with the truth. Another of his purposes was to come and do it in person in Christ. Another of his purposes is to judge all people with Christ and the gospel at the center. By one man, as Paul says in Acts 17. He purposed in himself. Purpose being a central element in all communication of information. Purpose and information and communication are not separable. If you've got information, the purpose, it's all been arranged and organized so it can be understood, and communication brings it to the other party. Information, communication, and purpose are irreparably intertwined. And God purposed this. He made the information so it could be understood. He put it where it would be understood. He made men who could understand it. And then in the DNA, he made it in a program which could be read. In the first instance, chemically, so that we were made from babes. In the second instance, afterwards, by scientific clarity, to see that it is a prodigy of intellectual brilliance by which the baby is brought up before it becomes a man. After that, after man was formed, it's just one more step. He had to be informed, the Bible. And if he refused to be informed after being formed, he would be deformed. Form, inform, deform, the latter, when you reject the restoration, the installation of a new heart. And that is the very simple basis. Formulations were given for the code, both in the body and in the scripture. And the power of the scripture not only comes from the Spirit writing it, but also from the Spirit dwelling in the hearts of those who preach, proclaim, and teach it, so that it all may be completed. So God has done the complete work. And we are to obey this command. Repent and believe. Thus being, as Ephesians 1:6 has it, engraced, surrounded by grace, engulfed in grace. Wages of sin and death is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. He works all things, says Ephesians 1:11, after the counsel of his own will. If therefore some wish to ignore him, as in Psalm 1:4, they stand in contrast to those who, knowing God, are known by him and serve as required. It's like armed forces. The gospel is their ammunition. The whole word of God, once fired, sets alight the flame of truth in many, and the flame of truth is one that gives the illumination, in this case, without consummation. But what of the indifferent? What of the rebels? What of the self-assertive? If then some like it that way, what's it like? It's like walking along a highway, ignoring the traffic and ignorant of it and of its ways. You may come off quite well. You may pick up a sovereign in the middle of the road, though it's not likely. You may come through unscathed until the next crossing. The whole word of God is the alternative to walking unknown in the midst of natural forces and circumstances, so that any moment you may be hit, because if you're out of the will of God, out of the knowledge of God, refusing his knowledge, without his survey and coverage, therefore whatever happens, happens. And you say, oh, it's just a world of chance. Not so. If you reject God, you're going in the midst of forces you cannot control, do not understand, and which may impact upon you, so that you can then moan about God when in fact you're walking across the highway without knowing what you're doing and rejecting the guidance and the grace of God. In this way, God is attacked again instead of the wantonry of the ones who refuse his wisdom. At any moment, just as you're about to build bigger barns, if you happen to strike a rich, that can happen too. You're in the midst of these forces. You work one way or the other. But just as you're about to build the bigger barns, it's said in the parable, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Without God, it is a godless deal, and godless deals look like it, and this world looks like it. Not entirely. Oh no. There's tremendous mercy in maintaining the laws which God imposed upon matter, both internally and around it, in astronomical matters. Imposing those laws, keeping things within bounds, all the tremendous scientifically investigable realities which keep our world in space reasonably safe. All that is maintained up to a point, though it's indicated that something perhaps like an asteroid will in due course come, not to demolish us, just to make things a little harder for those who reject wisdom. Part of this divine will, we read, as you look at the scriptures noted in Ephesians, Colossians, and also in Romans 11 and 16, which we have looked at, is that Jew and Gentiles alike will be made one. All the components of the gospel-believing mankind in all ages will be made into one, on one basis, one Christ, foretold in the prophets. The days come, said Christ to the woman at the well, people shall not worship in this city, but all shall worship God freely. And these are not the best in talent, as 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells you, but they're those who find rest for their crest in the breast of the Saviour, by whose stripes, as in Isaiah 53, by whose stripes they are healed. To them, his will is no more a mystery, an unresolved enigma. It's wholly apparent. All that God has shown them and given. Open-handed love, it's immediacy in the availability of God to his people. Each is a recipient of grace. And more than reformation, even regeneration comes and direct spiritual education in Christ. So Christ is in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. How can people understand these if they reject the very basis? Refuse the teaching and refuse the books. But to the saints who can know it, it's open. But to those who do not have him, he's not within them. They don't even trust him for salvation. His word is not installed in their hearts. His will is not followed. His eternal life is not accepted, which nothing can remove, as in John 10. Once it is granted, they are deprived and disadvantaged by their own will. While there's enormous stress on the individual, individuality is not to the point because there are sinews and muscles, there are jointnesses which make up the beauty of holiness in the body of Christ, which is all the believers. Now that his work and word is finished, some have come, and some are degraded by not receiving what is granted. So does man frequently make himself anemic, despite the iron of truth, witless, despite the wisdom of God, wily, despite the candor of God, as in Galatians 2:8, and despite the reality of truth. It is willful and profoundly sad. But such is liberty and such is love. The great gifts of grace to those who are not made like Meccano sets, but in the very image of grace. It's not as if Christ didn't weep. The truth is sharp. If you don't let him bear the sharpness of the nails, then you will bear the sharpness of the truth that you're a sinner who rejects redemption and chooses to stride up to God like a prince. Say, what about it, fella? On what is your confidence based, who reject the only basis for mercy? So we shall all be encouraged. That love, that gospel, that grace, those resolved and revealed mysteries, they're all available, they're all there, they have only to be taken. God seeks it. God would have all to be reconciled to himself. That's not the problem. It lies, you don't take him, within yourself. Amen. Our Father, we praise you for the doors, the open doors of utterance, the boldness with which they must be used, the revelation of the mysteries which have given us these wonderful things, the certainty of the truth of these things, not only because it's provable, but because it covers all the aspects and resolves all the problems. 25 years of endeavour in these fields, I found no problem that isn't resolved and readily resolved compared with every alternative. We thank thee that the truth is real, that it is like succulent pork. It delights the mind, it fills the soul, and it is personal, and is the mercy of a personal God. We praise thee, Father, that there is no other. In Jesus' name.